welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your wife. Go wake up your husband. Go wake up your children. Go wake up the oldest girl, the youngest girl, the oldest boy, and the youngest boy. Wake them up and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Wake them up now. Go wake them up. Get them out of bed, sleepy head. Go get them out of bed, sleepy head. Wake them up, wake them up, wake them up. Oh, I know what I need to go do this morning. I know what I need to go do this morning. I'm going to go get my bus this morning. I'm going to go get my bus. I'm going to make some stops, make some pickups this morning. Make some pickups this morning. All right, all right. Let me go ahead and start down there in Florida. Down there in Tampa, Florida. Tampa, are you on board? Tallahassee, Florida. Let me come on up to Charleston, South Carolina. Let me come on up now to Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Let me come on up to D.C. Let me come on up to D.C. D.C., are you on board this morning? Y'all that's around there in Maryland, are y'all on board this morning? Baltimore, what about you, Baltimore? Are you on board this morning? All right, all right. Thank y'all for getting on board. Thank all the cities. I couldn't call all y'all. There's so many. It would take the whole program to call all y'all. Let me go get a good song. This is a good song. Said, it's good to know Jesus. It's good to know.
Good to know.
right, that's the Mississippi Mass Choir, ladies and gentlemen, saying it's good to know Jesus. Yes, yes. Hey, listen, it's good to know Jesus. If you don't know him, you better get to know him, because it's good to know Jesus. All right. That's your song for today. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading out of the book of Exodus. The second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16 through 18, reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them,
"If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death."
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days."
So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites,
"In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?"
Moses also said,
"You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord."
Then Moses told Aaron,
"Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling."
While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses,
"I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other,
"What is it?"
For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them,
"It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent."
The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Each one had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them,
"No one is to keep any of it until morning."
However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them,
"This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning."
So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it.
"Eat it today,"
Moses said,
"because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath,
there will not be any.
Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses,
How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out.
So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said,
This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt.
So Moses said to Aaron,
Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come.
As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said,
Give us water to drink!
Moses replied,
Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to test?
But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said,
Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?
Then Moses cried out to the Lord,
What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.
The Lord answered Moses,
Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.
So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua,
Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.
So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses,
Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.
Moses built an altar and called it, The Lord is my banner. He said,
Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation.
Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her 2 sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said,
I have become a foreigner in a foreign land.
And the other was named Eliezer, for he said,
My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh.
Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him.
I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons.
So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said,
"Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly."
Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said,
"What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?"
Moses answered him,
"Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions."
Moses' father-in-law replied,
"What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied."
Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country.
All right, that was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16 through 18. May God bless those who have read and who heard his holy word. It's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. It's prayer time. Y'all know how we do it. You know how we do it. Gather around, family. Let's make our family circle. You know what I always say. A family that prays together is a family that'll stay together. Come on, y'all. Let's make our circle. Come on, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for giving us another wonderful day, a day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace that we have another day. Thank you, dear God, for the roof that's over our heads. Thank you, dear God, for the clothes that's on our backs. Thank you for the food that's on our tables. Thank you, dear God, for the transportation that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us cars and trucks and given us, dear God, even mass transit, dear God, buses and trains and planes, even taxi cabs, dear God. We just thank you so much, dear God, for all of our transit. Thank you, dear God, that you even given us the ability to walk, dear God. You gave us legs and feet. So, Lord, we just thank you today, Lord, for how you just blessing us over and over and over again, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the jobs that we have, dear God. Thank you for our schools, our school teachers. Thank you, dear God, for all our students. Now, Lord, we do want to lift this day up before you, Lord. Lord, we do want to remember all of our sick and our shut-in, dear God. Those that are in hospitals, dear God. Those that are going in for surgery, dear God. We ask that you would just be with the doctors, the nurses, all that would be attending their care, dear God. Give the doctors, dear God, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, so that they'll know what to do, dear God. And we pray that the people will come not only through surgery, but they'll come out of surgery doing a whole lot better than how they was when they first went in. And Lord, we just want to pray for those that are in nursing homes, dear God, and those senior citizens, dear God, that just at home and they are all alone, they're home alone, dear God. Lord, let them know they're not by themselves, dear God. You see them and you are with them every step of the way. Now, Lord, be with your people on this day. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, that's it, that's it. We done sung our song. We done had our prayer. We done read our scriptures. Clock on the wall, let's stand. That's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you, thank you, thank you so kindly for joining us this morning. Thank you for catching the Bible bus. We're going to come back through your neighborhood one day. So be ready to catch that Bible bus. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix, that's music, and a whole lot more. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready now for that early morning sermon. Some of you say you can't catch it later on today. So that's why we put it on early in the morning so we can catch these early birds. All right, I'm going to play a commercial too. Then we're going to put that on for you, all right? All right. Then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. After all, I'm your watchman on the wall, informing you, educating you, empowering you on the issues of our day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, real live people, and it's going to make you face yourself and think. So make sure you tell your family members and friends that may be hooked up on drugs and alcohol and sex. Unshackled can unshackle them by the power of God. So listen for Unshackled to come on at 10 o'clock. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. We got folks who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. So listen to a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, amidst the end of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner.